TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 1, Goodbye Summer, Hello Fall, Part 1. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from TVaholic.com.
And I'm Amri from mytakeontv.wordpress.com, soon to be mytakeontv.com.
This is our inaugural podcast, as I'm sure you're going to be able to tell throughout it. Normally we would do TV news plus a TV-centric topic of the week and then finish up with a primetime wrap-up. But because this is the start of the fall season and there's a lot of TV shows out there, and we want to talk about them all, this week we are splitting our podcast into two parts. We will do a topic of the week, which is our summer TV, and then we will go to the second part, which is the fall TV. We're going to go right into our Get to Know Your Podcaster session. I'm Ray, and I'm a TV whore because I like TV, and I'm pretty easy. As long as I'm enjoying a show, I will stick around and watch it. To talk about the shows that got me into TV in the first place, I'd have to start with my mom and her addiction to soap operas. When I was a kid, she taped General Hospital and Guiding Light every single day and watched them every single day. And that's really where my addiction began, because I was watching them right along with her. That also explains why I'm so addicted to serial type of shows, because that's what soap operas are, and that's what I grew up knowing and liking. Besides that, my earlier addictions, I was really into cartoon shows, and then after that, probably some of my early TV shows were like The A-Team, Scarecrow, Mrs. King, Remington Steele. After high school, I was kind of out of TV for a little while during high school, or I was watching, but I wasn't addicted to it. And then after high school and I went away to college, I started watching the WB shows because that's when they were starting, like Buffy and Dawson's Creek. And those are the shows that really pulled me back into my TV addiction. And they had online elements that also pulled me into the online world of TV, which is how I became the blogger that I am today. I watch about 25 to 30 hours of TV a week. And you think that's insane, but wait till you hear how many hours that Jason and Amri watch. I tape those hours on two DVRs, one in my living room and one in my bedroom. And I have to say that I probably watch more than that because I didn't include things like The Daily Show and Colbert Report and other like home improvement type of shows that I watch. But I tape those and I don't always watch them during that week, so I didn't feel like they should be included. And some of my favorites, I'll quickly go through. The older ones are Dawson's, Buffy, Briscoe County Jr., Alias, Gilmore Girls, and of course, Veronica Mars. Some of my newer addictions include Chuck, Psych, Pushing Daisies, Supernatural, many, many more that you will hear about soon. Jason?
Yeah, I'd have to say that mine TV watching started coming home from school and putting off the homework for a little while and seeing what was on TV. And one of those shows that was watching Emergency. While I'm not old enough to have watched it when it was originally on, it was on all the time when I got home. It was on in syndication, and so I used to come home and watch that. Other shows that I've liked in the past, Moonlighting, which may actually be one of my all-time favorite shows, and Night Court, Seinfeld, Friends, and more recently shows like Veronica Mars, which Ray mentioned, and now shows like House and Pushing Daisies and How I Met Your Mother, The Office would probably rank up there towards the top. And as Ray mentioned, I'm looking at an insane amount of TV watching this fall I added it up, and it's close to the potential of having 40 hours, and that doesn't after recording things and fast-forwarding through the commercials. But a few things are probably going to drop off to accommodate that. A couple things already have. And to watch all that TV, I have a dual tuner DVR from the cable company, and I have two TV tuners on my computer and software to use it as a second dual tuner DVR.
Very nice. Amory?
My obsession with TV, I think, started when I was little, when I was in elementary school. It was our big thing every week to come home and watch TGIF. You know, we'd do the sleepover thing. Everybody would get together and watch Hanging with Mr. Cooper and Boy Meets World and Full House when everything was still on Friday. So that's kind of where it all started. I kind of got out of TV for a while, but I think when I got to high school, for me, it was shows like Buffy and Dawson's and all the WB stuff really started me on my obsession again. And I started watching more and more and more. And so that's really where it all started. Shows in the recent past that I've been into, big fan of Alias and Gilmore Girls, Veronica Mars for sure. And currently, some of my favorite shows, I love Pushing Daisies, I love Friday Night Lights, Rescue Me, The Office. Those are some of my favorite shows, House and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia too. And as for how much TV I'm going to watch, I did add it up, and it comes right around like 38 and a half hours. So I'm not as bad as Jason. And like he said, a couple things have already dropped off, you know, since I added them up. So, but I'm sure that shows that I didn't think I was going to watch are going to get added back in. So I could be in the 40 range by the time it's all done too.
All right, so we came up with some questions for each other that we hope will reveal a little bit more about our TV likes and dislikes. I'm going to go first. My question to Jason and Amory is, if you were allowed to watch only one TV show, of your current shows, mind you, which one would you watch?
I would go with Pushing Daisies.
That's such a tough question to have to narrow it down to one.
The government says just one TV show a week.
I'd have to, right now, I'd probably, I don't know, I'd probably go with House. That'd be such a tough choice, but yeah, I'll go with House answer that question.
My pick would be Chuck at the moment, and I've heard great things about what's coming, so I think it's a good choice.
If you had to pick someone on a current show, not necessarily a fall show, but a show that's still active, who would you pick as your very best friend?
I would probably pick Sean Spencer from Psych.
For me, after lots of deep, intense thought on the subject, I'd have to go with Jim from The Office.
Okay, so for me, I would definitely go with Coach Eric Taylor from Friday Night Lights because I think he is the coolest person on TV.
Okay, my question is, if you were to get sucked into your TV and you had to live there, what TV show would you want to be on when that happened?
I would pick between, because I'm not really good with decisions. I would go with either Pushing Daisies because, Carter Kerr is so colorful and fun and happy. Well, not happy because there's a lot of death, but you know what I mean. or Friday Night Lights because it's real. Seems real.
Okay, so apparently Amory was caught flipping channels when she got sucked into her TV.
She's living in both worlds. They're two really weird, two different worlds, but...
Yeah.
So how about you, Ray?
I would probably go with How I Met Your Mother because the group of friends is so much like my group of friends that it would feel comfortable and just like being at home. Plus, they're all hip to the blogging thing, which is kind of my thing these days. So I wouldn't have to change what I'm doing in my off time.
I'd have to go with How I Met Your Mother as well, because you'd be living in New York. It'd be a cool group of friends, and since I don't have any, it'd be cool to have some.
You don't have any friends?
You can have friends and watch TV too, you know. So, but
so those are your friends. Those are your TV friends.
Yeah. So no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I'd go with the. I think that'd be a cool to hang out with the gang there.
I agree, obviously. We'll just wave to Amory from our place. all right. Well, that wraps up your little intro to each of us. I'm sure you will learn more about us as we go along. Right now, we are going to go to a short commercial break, and then we'll be back with our TV news.
It's a brand new day, and the sun is high. All the something singing that you're gonna die. Bad horse, bad horse, bad horse, bad horse. There's something, 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 something sin. You just got the application that you sent in.
I cannot believe my eyes. Is the world finally growing wise? Cause it seems to me some kind of harmony is on the rise.
Ow!
stop singing them yourself. The entire Dr. Horrible soundtrack is now available on iTunes. Please go download it and stop torturing the rest of us.
Want to know what's on TV tonight? Or better yet, want to know what's on that's actually worth watching each night? Then check out TVholic.com, where we help you find the prime in prime time.
And we're back from break with your TV news. Some headlines first. We have production halted on Dollhouse and 24. Both of these Fox shows have halted production for at least 2 weeks to give the writers and showrunners time to rework some of their stories. Both shows were slated to return mid-season, so halting production isn't going to push back their premieres, which is why the network execs were okay with it. However, a few people are a little concerned about it, worried that this means that the network is tinkering with the shows and that it wasn't just the decision of the showrunners. I know that Whedon fans, for example, are very concerned since they have previously invested in a Whedon show on Fox, Firefly, that just did not go well. I think that Joss coming out and Eliza coming out and saying that they're okay with it has probably calmed their fears a little bit, but I know that they are concerned about it. You guys watch 24? I know we don't watch Dollhouse yet, but 24?
I do watch 24, and I think season 6 was kind of so all over the place that if they think it's best to take some time and review what they're doing, then by all means do it. The only thing I say is that they've had a long, like, maybe not for Dollhouse, because it just kind of was born out of a dinner that Eliza and Joss had, but with 24, they've had, like, almost 2 years or something like that to plan this, so that concerns me a little bit. But,
I didn't even think about that. Huh.
Seriously, they have had since 2007 to get some kind of idea together.
That's the one that interests me on 24 is that they had six or eight episodes in the can already before the strike happened, and so have they gone back and restarted completely, or are they still trying to rework that whole story arc that they had already started?
From what I understand, it's going forward, not like they're not redoing anything they've already shot. They're just reassessing where their final destination is going, maybe.
Yeah, because I'm kind of with Amory on that one. It just seems like they've had plenty of
time.
the summer would have been when they were, doing that, doing any reassessing or figuring out that they get to the point where they fire up the, filming, and then all of a sudden decide to go back does sort of be worrisome a little bit, considering they were saying that they really got back to, were supposedly getting back to what people loved in the previous seasons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now they're reworking that.
Well, you never know. Okay, so if you want to find out more about the Dollhouse and 24 story, you can check out Corby's TV blog at zaptoit.com. We will have that full URL to the exact story up on our podcast notes on our website at tvtimes3.com. All right, so I'm going to move on to the next topic, which is NBC shows back on iTunes. At Macworld this month, Apple announced that NBC Universal content would once again be available on iTunes. It is actually still available on Hulu and Amazon Unbox, of course. But all those shows that were on iTunes and then disappeared, wasn't that just like 6-9 months ago? How long ago was that?
It wasn't very long ago.
They're all back again. So apparently NBC has reassessed the situation and decided that it would be best to put them back on iTunes. I don't have a lot of thoughts about this. I'm happy that they're back. I've told you guys before that I have shows that I don't really go to iTunes and buy shows, but occasionally if I miss a show, especially those Thursday night shows, there's so many shows on Thursday night, and I was for a little while there sometimes buying the shows on iTunes, like the one show that I couldn't watch or I couldn't tape, because there's so many shows that I even have trouble taping them all at once. Actually, it's because they do that stupid overlap thing. But anyway, that's besides the point. The point is that I'm happy that they're back so that I can go back to sometimes doing that. Like, it's an option for me.
I went, and as soon as that was announced, I went and downloaded, they offered their free shows, a lot of the pilots and stuff, like the Life pilot from last year, but I love Life, so I went to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing I thought was that it downloaded the normal version and the high def version at the same time.
Don't you want both?
I download both of them.
Don't you want that? Both of those to take up a lot of space on your computer?
Yeah, don't I want it to take up space on my iPod? I don't know why. I mean, it didn't give me an option to pick.
I know, that's
you just
silly.
Clicked on it and it started downloading.
You should write to more Apple than NBC, for the record. You should probably write to Apple and be like, hey, don't you think you maybe should say, which version do you want?
I'd imagine, because, Jason, were you saying yesterday when we were talking about this that the high def's more expensive? So obviously, I guess they're selling them separately.
Well, I don't know. I was just thinking, maybe does the high def version actually play on the iPod, or is that actually for playing on your computer or playing through?
It probably plays on your iPod. Those all play.
Yeah, all it plays. I watched The Office on my iPod at work.
The high def version?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying that they may have you download both, and so that you can put the smaller version on your portable player
maybe,
or whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
I know that Amazon's stuff does that they've always not necessarily have a high definition version, but they've had two versions that download, and one is for portable format. So maybe that's why if you buy the HD version, maybe you automatically get both, just so you have the.
But shouldn't it still be an option? Maybe it is an option in the preferences, and Amory just didn't know it.
Yeah, maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
But you were talking just the other day about how you were annoyed that the high def version is so much more than the regular version.
That just annoys me in general, just because it's already been filmed that way when they put it out on TV and they put it out. So the production cost of producing a Blu-ray disc or producing an HD video file is. The production cost is, to me, is not that much different in as producing a DVD.
Right.
And so they're just bumping it up because the actual quality of what you're seeing is better. And so, I don't know, it just...
I understand.
It just bothers me that the large premium that there is between when there's not enough for me to justify it in the background of how they put it together.
I hear you. It should. I mean, if anything, they should do like 50 cents to a dollar more, not $2 more. Seems silly. All right. So the next headline that I have is some news that I'm very excited about. Comedy Central has ordered a Christmas special of The Colbert Report. It is going to be called A Colbert Christmas: The Greatest Gift of All. I know, right? It's going to be a 1-hour musical special, going to air November 23rd at 9 p.m., and the DVD will actually be on sale 2 days later, November 25th. Some of the musical guests that Colbert has slated to appear, besides himself, of course, Elvis Costello, Feast, Toby Keith, John Legend, Willie Nelson, and John Stewart. I don't think I've ever heard John Stewart sing, so that should be kind of interesting. I'm very excited about it.
I don't watch The Colbert Report, but I think he's a very, very funny man.
You need to be watching The Colbert Report.
when I'm...
Tape it. You tape everything else in the world. You can't tape The Colbert Report. And it's on like 1,000 times during the day, okay? That's all I got to say. So moving on, unless Jason had something...
Don't have anything on The Colbert Report.
Rapport. Say it right. Moving on, our last headline of the podcast... is about How I Met Your Mother. Not quite sure how to talk about this. Basically, we're talking about syndication and How I Met Your Mother reruns. Variety reported last week or so that How I Met Your Mother's reruns are raking in the quote-unquote mother load, their pun, not mine, on auction bids for its syndication. Looks like they could be reaching upwards of $350 million to start. There are three station groups. Those are like Tribune, Fox, and CBS. Those are the folks who own like stations all over the U.S. And they run reruns throughout the day, so that's why they bid for reruns to order. But it's good news, I think, that's why I'm bringing it up. Good news for How I Met Your Mother fans. It is beating out all of the other properties that 20th TV, who owns the property, has out there. So hopefully that means that the people at CBS will pay attention, and the people who don't like How I Met Your Mother and constantly debate whether to renew it every season will realize that it's generating buzz.
Well, the good news front on that also is that I read a story that says that the syndication order would be for 110 episodes.
Right.
And they'll only be at about 90 at the end of this season. So
we'll have to continue.
All this buzz and... looking at all the money coming in for it is virtually going to guarantee a fifth season
of
the show.
Kudos to whoever's creating that buzz.
Yes.
I guess those TV stations, but I don't know why. Well, I do know why. The article itself says that part of the reason they attribute this high auctioning going on for How I Met Your Mother is because there are so few sitcoms being made these days and so few sitcoms that actually appeal to audiences that mm-hmm. they just have nothing else to bid on. And that's why it's going so high for this one, because all three stations want it. They all have channels in these different markets and they want to be the one who runs How I Met Your Mother reruns. That would be a good thing, though, if it gets us a season 5, because I love How I Met Your Mother.
As obviously. Do I.
I was going to say, if according to Jim, can continue on being renewed year after year because it does so well in syndication, then a show like this should definitely continue to go on and
exactly.
on. Just if for no other reason, because of the money they can make by syndicating it later on.
Plus, if Jason and I are living in How I Met Your Mother, we need it to continue. We don't want it canceled, okay?
Exactly.
All right, so we're done with the TV headlines for now. We're going to move on to some casting news. Jennifer Aniston on 30 Rock. Who's excited about that?
Definitely, definitely.
I'm excited anytime somebody from Friends shows up anywhere.
Well, there's another thing. I mean, it's a little old, but Courtney Cox is going to be on Scrubs this season, too.
Do you watch Scrubs, Jason?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then that would be a good thing for you. The other casting news I've got is about the 90210, the alums. Shannon Doherty going to only be doing her short stint. She has other commitments, and she wants to do it, but has committed to doing some other projects, so she's not going to be around. I don't know how long of an episode run she has going on, but when it ends, she'll be gone for a while, and possibly will come back when her projects are done.
I think she was actually going to be in four episodes.
Four, so she's been in two so far?
Yeah, I mean, if they're counting the first, yeah, she's in two.
Jenny Garth says that she'll stick around as long as 90210 wants her. So I guess she's having fun, which is a good thing, because she's one of the best parts of the show for me.
Yeah, me too.
I was going to say, if the storyline's not revolving around Kelly Taylor on the show, I'm not all that interested in what's happening with everybody else.
So true. So
Kelly Taylor looks younger than the character that's playing in the... I'm just saying.
Nice. All right, well, we'll leave that discussion for our primetime worst and best, okay?
There's a little preview of what's coming.
I don't really have anything else. I guess Katie Holmes, again, that's old news. Katie Holmes on Eli Stone, which you'll be able to see that pretty soon. All right, so that's our casting news for this time. All right, moving on to my last TV news topic, which is pickups. Just going to run through them really fast, and then we can kind of talk about them if you want. TBS has picked up the Bill Ingvall Show for a third season. I don't know if anybody's watching, but I'm happy about this because one of my contributors or former contributors, Spads, does some work for the show, so that means some more work for her, so I'm happy. TNT picked up both Raising the Bar and Saving Grace. Raising the Bar for a second season, Saving Grace for a third season. That's pretty amazing, actually, because Raising the Bar has only aired like two or three episodes before they picked it up.
Mm-hmm. Three episodes.
Yeah, three.
After three episodes.
And then HBO has picked up True Blood for the second season already. This was the one that had only aired two episodes so far, and it's already been picked up. It will go into production next year and air in the summer of 2009. What were you going to say, Amory?
It just kind of blows my mind, because you were saying, you know, it had kind of dismal ratings, and then the second week wasn't even that great. And then they're like, oh, second season already, yay.
Yeah.
But maybe they're hoping what happened, like with Big Love. Big Love didn't have big ratings in the first season, but it was picked up pretty much right away for a second. And second season, everybody got hooked on it.
Maybe they're just counting on that. Maybe they're just showing a show of support to their show. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that when I read the release about it and it was talked about, you know, critics raving about the show. I don't know where those critics are, because I haven't read any of those critics raving about the show, but apparently they are.
I think I said I was mediocre on it. I was kind of there on the subject.
Yeah, exactly. We can talk about True Blood in our primetime area, but I'm not impressed with it. But in what I've read, I've not read any like great reviews about it. Like
nothing glowing by any means.
Right. I've read good and bad, and I've read fans who love it, but I don't think I've read any critics who love it. And that's why I was surprised when I read the release. I was like, really? Okay. Well, whatever floats your boat, HBO. But it's good. Like, for fans of the show, I'm glad that it's coming back for a second season. Now they can get invested, I guess. That's a good, it's a good show for HBO, right?
They need something with the...
My next question, though, didn't they do the same thing, HBO, with Tell Me You Love Me? Wasn't that supposed to go into a second season and then it was canceled?
I didn't think they got the pickup for a second season.
I thought it was one of those, like, almost immediate pickups, and then it was like, oh, never mind, we're not doing it.
I don't know for sure. It sounds about right. I mean, I guess if they, the further along you get and it doesn't pick up in ratings, I guess you can always change your mind. That
yeah.
Other networks do that too, when they say we'll pick up 13 and then they only air four of them. So even more so if they're saying like a new season that they haven't even gone into production on yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all of the pickups I have. There probably were some more, and if you guys know of them,
those are the ones I've heard so far.
Was Chuck picked up for the full season?
Oh, Chuck was given full season after the network saw six episodes and loved it and said we want them all.
That makes
which
me
is
happy.
Awesome.
It is awesome. No wonder they're talking about other episodes that are to come, some fun episodes in the winter time and then in the new year. I guess that would be why, because they already know they're getting those full seasons. All I have for pickups, is there any other new stuff that you guys wanted to mention?
No, just in the pickups, I'm happy that that TBS picked up Bill Engvall, but I'm still waiting on hearing the official that My Boys is coming back.
I'm hearing things like, yes, you know, it's definite, it's on the way, but I haven't heard yet.
I want to see an official press release.
Exactly.
I mean, if they picked up, I'm sorry, Kelly, if they picked up the Bill Engvall show, they should pick up My Boys, don't you think?
I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Doesn't My Boys bring in more ratings for them? What?
ABC Family picked up Secret Life, and that's coming back.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Okay, I think that wraps up our TV news, and we're going to go to a little commercial break, and then we'll be back with our topic of the week.
Hey gang, it's Amory. Don't forget to check out my blog, My Take on TV, where I give my take on what's going on in the world of television. Feel free to stop by and give your take, too, at mytakeontv.wordpress.com.
Here's your weekly dose of TV Times 3 Classifieds. For sale, Death Ray. Earn points with Bad Horse with this brand new Death Ray. Never been used, 100% guaranteed to work. Definitely cooler than a freeze ray. Contact Johnny Snow. Serious inquiries only. Nanny for Hire. Very friendly and loves kids. I'll take care of your family as if they were my own. Email me at carrie@skingfan.com. Open Room. St. Clair's Hospital offers the best inpatient care and now has an open room available. Your mentally unstable will love our yummy butterscotch pudding Mondays. Stop by today for a tour of our facilities. Do you want to hear your classified in this spot? Call 206-339-8245 and leave us a voicemail.
All right, welcome back from that little break. Now we're going to talk about our summer viewing. That's our topic of the week this week. I'm going to go around the room and ask everybody how much summer TV they watched this summer, whether it's the same amount as before or if it's different. For me, I didn't watch nearly the same amount of TV that I usually do. I was stuck in a reading black hole. I was reading mysteries all summer long. Jason?
I probably watched about the same amount of TV as I usually do over the summer. I was able to find some new things that came on, like The Cleaner and shows like that.
I think that this summer I watched more than I did last year. And I don't know if that's because there was more, I found more new shows or whatever, but I definitely think that I made a point to watch more.
All right, well, then let's talk about some of the things we watched. I know that the two of you watched The Secret Life of American Teenager. Care to tell us about it?
Tell us out. Go ahead, Ray.
I started to watch it. I just didn't continue to watch it, okay?
I watched every single episode of it.
So did I.
Every episode.
That's commitment, you guys.
Or need to be committed or something.
Yeah.
There's some commitment going on.
Exactly.
Was it good?
I'll use the excuse that, you know, I had to watch it to be able to write about it for a blog, you know, like it was work. I had to watch it,
uh-huh.
But no.
No, it wasn't good. Is that
it was work watch?
You know how when you sit and you see like a car wreck on the side of the road, you just can't look away. Like it's you turn it on and you're stuck. You're just watching this ambulance wreck or whatever. It's terrible.
I'm sorry. It got great ratings. Like the season finale was amazing ratings for ABC Family.
Yeah, it was quite incredible. Through the whole run of the episodes, they all did really well. I mean, the topic of the show, you know, like the underlying storyline, is interesting and different from, you know, you haven't really seen too much of that, except for like in a more comic aspect on like Reba or something like that. But this was a little more the drama side of it, but I don't know, the acting and the maybe even the writing it was watching this group of on the adult side of the cast of people that you've seen in lots of other things that were good in lots of other things and all seem not good in this.
Mm-hmm. So Molly Ringwald wasn't doing that great?
Everything's like, I don't know, the everything's sort of stilted and wooden almost, slightly better than a bad SNL sketch.
Well, I don't really have anything to follow that up with. Like I said, I started to tape it, and I was sort of watching it and sort of catching it in reruns, but then my books got my attention, and I was like, why am I watching this when I can re-reading a book?
I think one of the big problems I have with it, and I say this every time somebody asks me about it, is that I was in the band, the marching band in high school, and we never walked around the hallways in our uniform. I never carried my instrument around. My band friends didn't march around me down the hallway playing music when I had a bad day. Like, it was just, it took it to this extreme that didn't ever happen, and it just blows my mind.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome, the parade of in the finale.
Now you guys are making me wish I had watched.
Oh, yes. You wish you watched.
All right. Well, then let's go to the other ABC Family show that was new this summer, The Middleman.
The Middleman is the show that I wish had gotten the ratings that The Secret Life got because it's the show that deserved it.
Yeah, I know. Dub, dub.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. I was just thinking about the show, looking at my notes about it, and thinking about Dub, Dub and Matt Keeslar. Amber, you want to tell us a little bit about your Matt Keeslar experience this summer?
Matt Keeslar is one of my favorite people on the planet. My favorite movie is Waiting for Guffman, so one of my big things at Comic-Con was that I was really excited to get the opportunity to meet him. So I got to talk to him for a couple minutes, and it was just very, I don't know, it was perfect. He was really down to earth, really nice, really funny, and really proud of his character. Aww. And I also got to meet Javier, Grillo Marshwalks?
I don't know. I'm not even going to try, because I'll murder it. Yes, Javi, that's how I know him.
Also, just one of the coolest people I've ever, they're just so down to earth. And I just, that's the only way to really explain them. They, you know, chatted with me about where the show came from, why the show, what they hope for the show in the future. It's just, they seem so proud of it, and I think that's important.
I agree. I have my fingers crossed that by some miracle, ABC Family will love having worked with them and want to bring it back.
VP of marketing there, like, he loves it.
John?
But John kept saying, you know, can you get 100,000 of your friends to watch?
Yeah.
Which I don't have 100,000 friends.
As soon as I get those friends, I'll get
them. Let me go find them. Exactly.
So funny. What I was going to say was, Jason, you were just telling us that it took you a little while to get into the show. What finally drew you in?
Yeah, it took me a little bit. It took me until episode 8, which was the ectoplasmic Panhellenic investigation, nice. Which was basically the ghost in the sorority house episode. And throughout the whole episode, there was so many, some were, you know, you could see easily, and some of them were more obscure references to Ghostbusters that were just sort of in the background or just, you know, said, just, you know, and you either, you know, you may have caught some of them, you may have not. And I don't know, something in that with all the references to Ghostbusters, it finally clicked for me on the show. And then I really started liking the show from then on out with the rest of the episodes.
Do you think you went back and watched the first ones again that you would like them?
Yeah, I don't know. I might. Well, comedy has, you know, it's all about points of reference. So if you don't have the point of reference, you're not going to get the joke.
I will say, for anybody who was looking, like if you didn't get all the pop culture references that they did in each episode on the middle blog, which is themiddleblog.livejournal.com, Javi would post after each episode, he would post all of the different pop culture references that were in each episode. So for anybody who wasn't getting them and wants to get them, you can go back and look through those posts to find out. Like, he literally lists every single reference that was in there. So, all right, so we have to move on to another new show, and that is In Plain Sight from USA. Started early June, is that right?
I think so.
Yeah, it did.
All right.
I liked it. I don't know. It wasn't
clearly looking it up right now.
Right. It wasn't my favorite show, but I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, I agree with that. It wasn't what I was hoping it would be. I was really hoping, I think, for more humor, just based on the promos that they showed and the other USA shows that I like. Like, what I like about them is, like, they seem light and fluffy and humorous, and this show just... I was interested in it, and I actually taped all of the episodes and would go back, and when I was watching them, I would watch multiple in a row and like it, but I just had no burning desire to, ooh, In Plain Sight is on, I gotta be home to watch it.
Right.
Yeah, it never, I don't know, yeah, it sort of was just slightly, I don't know, I'd say maybe a little darker than the other shows, you know, in like Burn Notice and Psych. It didn't have, it had some comedy in it, although Marshall is the main person that's giving you a lot of that comedy. It took me a little bit to get used to his delivery and how where those things were coming from as the episodes went along. But mostly at the beginning, it was what's with all the family stuff? You know, why are these people here? They did finally tie that in, but they didn't give you enough along the way to.
It's kind of uneven.
Well, it was kind of like they did set it up in the pilot, and then it sort of went away a little bit where it was, they were just there to like annoy her, you know, was the, and by doing so annoyed us. And
exactly. Okay. Speaking of USA shows, let's leave behind the new shows, even though we didn't talk about The Cleaner. We'll get back to that. Let's move on to other USA shows. The first one up that I have written on my sheet of paper here is Burn Notice, which Amory and I got to do something kind of fun with Burn Notice at the beginning of the summer.
Yes, Ray and I headed south to Miami to spend some time on the set with the cast and the crew. We really did get to meet just about everyone involved in the show, I think it gave me a better appreciation for it.
Yeah, I think it did for me, too. And I told you this the other day, but I'll repeat it for our audience. I sat down that weekend after we went to the set, and I rewatched. I pretty much, for like that Saturday and Sunday, I rewatched all of season one.
It took you 2 days.
took me 2 days to get through an hour. No. I watched all of season one, and in fact, I was at my parents' house because, for those who don't know, I live in Florida, so going to Miami was just me driving south for a couple hours. And on the way home, I stopped at my parents' house for the weekend. And as I was watching, they were watching along with me. And when I left, I had like 2 episodes left before I left them. And my dad was like, well, aren't you going to just leave those DVDs here so we can watch them? So I think I got another 2 people hooked on the show. See, that's what set visits do for you.
And that's the same thing, because my mom was in Florida with us. She came down for the weekend. And I left her milling about by herself for the majority of the time. But when we came home that night after dinner, we had dinner with the creator, Matt Nix, and we got the DVDs. My mom started watching them right away because we had my DVD player in the hotel room. She had a portable DVD player. She watched a couple of them on the beach with her. She was that invested in it. So I think I got a new viewer there too.
Yeah, I think we had a lot of fun. I certainly had a lot of fun since you can see pictures of me in Michael Weston's bed, knocking on Michael Weston's door, eating a little bit of Michael Weston's yogurt. Well, not really. I was
cooking on Michael Weston's hot plate.
We were doing other things, too. And we were taking a picture with Michael Weston. Like, literally, he was wearing that outfit in the... It's so funny because I screen capped the show to be like, look, he's wearing this outfit in the picture with us, and he's wearing this outfit on the show. I'm such a dork. All right. I would agree with you that it gave me a different appreciation for the show, and I've actually been really enjoying the show this summer. So.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And not a single person who works on that show isn't funny. Everyone is funny.
They're funny and personable and went out of their way to be nice for us, so
exactly.
Shout out to the Burn Notice cast. And that's where everybody got to learn my embarrassing secret that I totally fall in love with every freaking TV writer that I meet.
Mm-hmm.
Which allows me to segue into the other USA show we have to talk about, which is Psych. And Jason and I, because Amory didn't come, Jason and I got to do a show visit to Psych.
Yeah, that was a good time. It started out with a minor disappointment because we were going to get to see them film some of the roller derby scenes,
right?
And on location, and And for whatever reason, the week that we're, or the couple days that we're there, they actually get everything they need. No delays in filming on the day that we're there. So yeah, we ended up having dinner with the writer of the Talk Derby to Me episode and a couple of the actresses that played roller derby girls in the episode, and that was a good time.
Yeah, it was. I sat next to, and you were on the other side. You were down the table from me, but I sat next to Sydney Bennett, who is the, I should have written down what she played, what her name was on the show. But she played like the lead roller derby girl on the show. And she is actually a roller derby girl in real life. She does roller derby in LA with the LA Derby Dolls, I think is what they're called. And she was just fascinating, like just telling us all the stories about doing derby stuff and all of that kind of stuff. And then to watch it on the show, it gave me a different appreciation for the derby part of the show.
Yeah, I think you were on for talk about roller derby and talk about things on the show. I think you were on the more interesting side of the table.
Oh, you guys weren't sorry.
The conversation didn't do too much about the show itself. I mean, we got to talk to Tim a little bit. He was good about switching his focus to people on both sides of the table. But yeah, I think you guys on the other side got to hear all the good roller derby stories.
Well, I'm glad then. We actually, besides the roller derby stuff, we just talked about a lot of other stuff. Like, I think we did ask, that's not really true, we did talk to Tim a little, like we asked him some questions about the show. And I would try to say Tim's last name, but I will butcher it. So, Meltrager, is that right?
His name's Tim.
Exactly. Tim is very funny. And yes, I do love Tim because he's a TV writer. But also I love Tim because he did the little known fact. He actually did the online stuff for Psych initially before he actually got on the staff to write for the show. So besides not getting to see them film, which was a disappointment just because it was going to be, we were going to see them actually do the roller derby parts. And that would have been cool. We did get to talk to everybody on cast. I think we talked to all of the cast, didn't we?
That was probably the best part of it, is we got to sit in a, you know, sort of a small little room, and they brought in one cast member at a time, and we got to spend, I think we spent up to about 40 minutes with one, and just got to fire questions at them and talk with them about the show. And it was sort of an intimate setting in where we were. It was very cool. And then at the end of the day, we got to interview Corbin Burnson actually on the set in his house.
Exactly. It was very cool. And then at the end of the day, we got to watch them film the really tiny scene. Like, when I watched it in the show, I was like, wow, that was really like a tiny scene. I knew it at the time, but because you watch them film it over and over again, like it doesn't seem tiny to you. But then when you see it in the show, it's like a 2 second, like it's gone in a flash. And you're like, wait, that was our scene. So it was fun.
Yeah. But it was still cool to see them on set, how they, you know, how they're actually doing it. And then watching them rearrange things between takes or say, okay, no, take it from this point. But, you know, do it like, you know, do it this way, you know, this time or something like that.
Right.
It was, interesting to, I was just saying, it's interesting to see, you know, it from that perspective of how they, that sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah, it was. Besides that, I've been enjoying the season. It got stronger for me towards the end, and there were some weak episodes, but I still enjoy them. Like, it's still probably one of my favorite shows on TV right now, so.
That's the same way I feel about it. I think that, I don't know, it's funny because it's not their first season, but I felt almost like they were settling in. You know, the first couple were a little rocky, and then they settled in to the end, and it worked out really well for them.
I agree with that. I have theories on it, because I think that first episode was so different from what they normally do that it was like they then had to get back into their comfort zone or something. And I don't know if it's because they did that first one and then I didn't get this feeling when we talked to them that they did that first one and then decided they would go back. But that's how it kind of seemed to me. Like, they started out really different, and then they went back to what their usual, I was going to say pattern, but I don't really mean that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It did have a different feel, but it still provided one of the best moments of the season, which was the scenes between Sean's mom and Detective Lassiter.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was,
I'm just laughing thinking of although that first wasn't it the first one that we saw the flashback of Lasseter to? That was great.
Yeah, that also includes the flashback to when he was like the rookie cop with the mustache, and he was the guy that is like the one patrol officer that he's always, you know, telling to do stuff now in right. the flashback to when he was that guy, you know.
All right, then let's wrap those up and move on. So now we have other show chit-chat, any shows that we've missed. I know Amory has some shows that she watched, and Jason, and then I have some reality shows, and then we can talk about The Cleaner, because we didn't talk about that in our other show area. Who wants to go first? Amory? Mad Men?
Sure.
Swing Town?
Mad Men. Mad Men, we decided, is kind of the fall, summer, I don't know, Bridge the Gap kind of show. But it definitely started in the summer, so it counts. And I think it's one of the best shows on TV. I don't know, the acting is so strong, and the writing is so strong, and it really makes you feel like you're in a different time. Because, you know, it's set in 1962 this season. Mm-hmm. It just takes you out of your element and really shows you kind of what it was like to be back then.
Can
you know?
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, I know that all of us here are on Twitter. In case any of you want to follow us. But do you follow the characters from Mad Men who are on Twitter by any chance?
I don't follow them, but, like, I see, like, when Dan says something to them, I follow and see what they said to him and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Dan would be Ducky from DuckyDoesTV.com. Little extra plug there for Ducky. I'm just curious. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to know.
Oh, no. It's okay.
Because it seems odd to me. Like, it's... Not odd. Like, I think people get into it. Like, that's kind of what a fan thing is. But it just seems odd to me because Twitter is, like, a technology from now.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how they interact on Twitter because it's not, like, that same world. Do you know what I mean? Like, it seems
weird. It's funny. I mean, they definitely, you know, the tweets or whatever that they put on there mm-hmm. are very in the spirit of 62. You know, and they say things about going out to get, like, a gimlet after work or something like that. And... I guess that's more the 70s, but whatever. You know, they're very to the times.
Okay, good. Sorry, I interrupted you before you were going to talk about Swingtown next. Is that where you're going?
Yes. In keeping with my theme of time travel, my other favorite show of the summer was Swingtown. I didn't know what to expect in the beginning. I mean, obviously, it's about the swingers. You know, that's what it all started about. But it became so much more than that. It was, you know, a family show. Not for families to watch, but a show...
Sorry.
You know, a show about families. And it really, it was a character study, which it was a lot less about the sex than it was about what is happening to these characters in the summer of 76.
Interesting. I didn't watch it, I'll have to admit. Not, one, because swinging just isn't my interest. Is that too much information? Or good information to know? I don't know. I just wasn't drawn to it. And then everybody was claiming that everybody was loving it at the end of the summer, but it was too late for me to watch it. So
yeah.
DVD. Is it coming back?
We haven't heard anything, but I mean, I know they were shopping it around to cable networks, which maybe could happen.
Yeah, sort of the rumor of maybe they would bump it up to like Showtime or something, since it's to stay in the same family of networks.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting. There'd be a lot more gratuitous, I think.
And dirty.
Yeah. Okay, so to move away from Amory and her time travel, we'll move to another show that has some time travel elements. Jason, Eureka? Were you watching that?
Yeah, I've been watching Eureka. I just love that show. For me, it's like a Northern Exposure, you know, but mm-hmm. a sci-fi version of it. And they just come up with the interesting little, you know, for whatever the problem of the week is, they're always fun and interesting, but the characters are all just, it's really about the characters on the show for me. They're all just really good. I just like all of them. And as a group, they've really come together and work really well off of each other.
I'm about a season and a half behind. Well, I guess probably two seasons now because the season is almost over, right? Or is it over this season?
Yeah, I think it's on the backwards half, winding down here.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm almost two seasons behind because I have not yet bought the season two DVDs.
I watch it, like I watch Eureka, but I don't watch it every week, which kind of gets me in trouble because I miss things, but I do like the show.
All right, well then let's move on to the one new show that we forgot to include, The Cleaner. Is everybody watching that?
I am.
I've been watching it.
And?
I think it's pretty good.
I think it's really good. It's a procedural in the overall sense of what it is, but it's such a different take on that type of what the sort of the case of the week is going to be with a guy helping to try and, you know, trying to help people that are, you know, addicted to drugs and help them see or get out of the situation that they've got themselves in.
Right.
And, you know, it's not your average detective show or some such thing like that, but it sort of has that same feel, but the stories that they tell inside of it and the characters, and then just the interesting part of William Banks's, you know, home life and how he deals with, you know, running this as a business and how it affects his home life, plus him being, you know, a former, you know, druggie and in jail and stuff like that. It's just really well done.
And they have gotten, you know, huge guest stars. Not maybe not huge, but I mean, Eric Roberts is kind of big, and Kathy Baker was on, and who else has been on? Sarah Clark from 24. It's just people that, you know, for a show that's on A&E, not necessarily attracting the huge viewers, it's gotten some good people on.
I'm being quiet because I have fallen behind on the show, so I'm a couple episodes. I'm not a couple. I'm more like several episodes behind. but it is a good show. Like, I like it, and it's not my normal type of show, so it's not like the first thing I come home and I want to watch.
Yeah.
But I have to start watching it because my, one of my best friends in real life, in offline life, I hate to call it real life, she watches it because, you know, online is fake life. No, anyway, she watches it and she keeps asking me, like, she wants to talk about it. She's always like, have you caught up yet on The Cleaner? So I do need to catch up, but I'm glad to hear that it stays good because
Oh, yeah.
All right, and then the other one I have written down here is TNT shows. Has Jason watched the Closer finale yet?
I haven't gotten to the Closer finale yet.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, so we'll just leave you with the knowledge that Amory and I both loved the Closer finale, and Jason is taking forever to watch it. So
I'm sure it's excellent.
It is excellent.
I laughed and I cried. How's that?
That's about what that show. I mean, that's what it does best. It hits these really incredibly serious topics, but then is also one of the funniest shows on TV.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
And it's not, and the humor is not about the serious things that have happened. It's sort of the almost like the what do you call it, the gallows humor, you know,
right,
in the midst of funny things that happen in the midst of investigating these cases and stuff like that, or any time that Brenda's family shows up is just a riot.
All right, then, since that's about all we can say about that. Otherwise, we'll spoil Jason, and we don't want to spoil Jason.
We don't want to spoil him.
We don't. Was there any other summer shows that we missed that we didn't catch in there?
I watched Saving Grace this season, and I didn't watch it in the first season.
And?
But I really liked it. I was surprised. I was surprised how much I liked it. But it's very good. It's I don't know. It's.
I've just never been able to get into it. I don't know why.
It's dark. It's very dark.
That's my problem,
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is dark. But watching Holly Hunter, she must be just unbelievably exhausted at the end of.
Oh, I know she is.
At the end of filming, because she's in everything pretty much, you know, and everything pretty much revolves around her on the show, and it's just and what her character does to deal with things and the way she's just, you know, like pedal to the metal all the time, just incredible.
I was just going to say, it's insane how she's just in everything and she does everything. It's crazy.
All right. So is there any Saving Grace, people? They like it. So watch it. It's too dark for me, but you can watch it. This is why Jason and Amory watch more TV than me. all right, then. If we don't have any others, let's talk. We're going to wrap up here and talk about what shows of those that we talked about, of those multitude of shows we talked about, what we'll miss the most and why. I know that regular TV, quote unquote, regular TV is coming back. And we have plenty of shows to replace them with. But which one are you going to miss the most, Amory?
I think I would say The Closer, but that airs all the time in reruns, so I won't really miss that. So I think I will miss Swingtown the most.
Jason?
Well, I won't say Eureka because that's still got a couple more episodes left, but it'd be, I don't know, I can't narrow it down to one. I'd say the The Closer and Burn Notice and Psych are going to be the shows that I'll most miss until they return in January. Or at least Psych and The Closer return in January.
Burn Notice comes back in January, too.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so those three.
All right. I would have to say, I'm sure this is not going to shock any of you, Psych and Burn Notice are the two that I'll miss the most. Probably, of the two, probably Psych the most. I love Burn Notice, but, like, I can take a break from Burn Notice. But I like having, like, Psych is my Friday night, like, kick back and relax and just laugh show. So, I have a show on Friday nights, which we'll talk about later. But that's the show that I like because of the humor. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a light show on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. I think that wraps it up, unless anybody else has any other summer thoughts. No?
Nope.
All right. Be sure to, we're going to leave you a phone number at the end of the podcast. You can call in and tell us your summer favorites and what you'll miss most and why. All right. I think we're ready for a little commercial break. I like big blogs and I cannot lie. You other blogs can't deny. Oh my God, you guys. Don't you wish I had spared you my singing? So do I. Hey, this is Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com. Just wanted to tell you a little bit about my blog in the hopes that you'll check it out. I love TV and I talk a lot about it, or I ramble a lot about it anyway. I have a couple other contributors who also ramble about what they're loving. We also do a Friday fun trivia and games on Fridays to help you pass the day. And we have lots of other fun stuff too. So check it out if you get the chance. www.ramblingsofatvwhore.com. All right, welcome back from that little break. Well, normally, right now, we would be doing our primetime wrap-up for the week. However, this week, like we said, we're going to split this podcast into two parts, so make sure that you listen to Episode 1, Goodbye Summer, Hello Fall, Part 2, in which we discuss the upcoming shows for this fall, as well as the shows that are happening right now. And next week, we'll be back to our regular format.
So listen again next week when our topic will be old faces in new places, thinking about the old characters we love in new character roles and how that affects us, what we think of it.
And if you'd like to tell us what you thought about the first episode or you have some ideas on next week's topic, give us a call at 206-350-6869.
And that's a wrap for part one. Before we go, I want to say a quick thank you to Sunil, who lent his vocals to us for a commercial break this time around. Also have to wish him a belated happy birthday. And while I'm on the subject of birthdays, happy birthday to Just Jody from Canada. Also wanted to let you know that our intro and outro song used this time around was provided by iodapromonet.com. The song itself is called TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial album, put out by Yellow Dog Records. If you'd like more information on how to obtain this song, check out our website at www.tvtimes3.com. All spelled out. And that's it. Don't forget to check out part two of our inaugural podcast. Bye.
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 I wouldn't be without my TV birthday.
Not even a minute.
We're recording.
Holy editing, Batman.
Yeah. At least I'm doing it to myself, right?